One of my favorite people, athletes, all of it, former NFL linebacker. Maybe he'll do it again. I don't know. We'll find out in a second here. Sam Acho with us here. Speaker, podcaster, humanitarian, author. He's got a new book out, Let the World See You, How to Be Real in a World Full of Fakes. So, Sam, let's start there. Congrats on the book. I have listened to the first chapter. Pretty intense, hiding out in the bathroom trying to get away from high school bullies. You're not playing with this thing. I think this is going to resonate with a lot of people, so congratulations.
Thank you so much. And absolutely, it's a book. It's not your typical, people think of an athlete writing a book. It's not a football book by any stretch of the imagination. It's really a book about what everybody goes through, emotions, what it means to be seen, hiding, fear, shame, all the things. And so I couldn't be more excited. Make sure you listen to chapter one. I don't know. They got it on. It's available. Like, this is release week, right? So it just dropped on everywhere books are sold. So make sure to get the rest of those chapters and listen to that thing.
So, well, one of the things that I found most interesting is you talk about anger, and here's Sam Acho, and you want to be a good guy, right? And your dad, a pastor, right? Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. So you're a pastor's son, but yet you're a football player, but yet you're this good guy, but you've got all this anger flowing through you, and you sort of have to make it okay to express that and all the other emotions. But that's a journey in itself right there.
Absolutely. It's funny, on the football field, and not even on the football field, in life, we all have emotions, anger, fear, joy, all of them. And for whatever reason, I felt like I couldn't show people a certain side of me, that side that was a fiery competitor, the side that was trying to win at all costs. So sometimes I kind of wouldn't show that side, though on the field, that's who I am. And so anyways, it got to this point where it was like, I was sitting, it talks about the book, sitting with the counselors, and he asked me a question. He said, Sam, what do you do when you get angry? What do you do when you get angry? Right? Everybody has their way. He continued on saying, he said, your body keeps the score, right? You try to keep these things in, but your body keeps the score. He said, what do you do when you get angry? I said, I don't get angry. He said, come on, man, everybody gets angry. What do you do when you get angry? And so kind of we had this back and forth, but it's this idea of like showing people the real you. That's what this book is all about. That's what Let the World See You is all about. When you read that book, you'll get a chance to see the real me, football side, the faith side, the intellectual side, the entire me you'll see in this book.
It's interesting how you got this anger piece going on, and so but you're in the locker room and you want guys to like you, so you're this nice guy, but yet you also, the way you describe an NFL locker room is pretty much like a high school locker room where guys are, you're in the locker room, you're who's got the biggest, you know what, whatever, like who's the man in here, who's going to dictate conversation. And that's, you know, for you, you were a good player, but you weren't the number one guy. And how do you fit into all that? But it sounds like you, over time, at least found some comfort in there. But how would you describe to those who like kind of romance the NFL locker room as this cool place where everyone's getting along, but it doesn't seem like it's that at all?
Yeah, don't get it twisted. So, I mean, you know, obviously, you read the book, you'll read a little bit about, talk about emotions and all the things, right? Fear and shame, all the things. But don't get it twisted. On the football field, I'm a killer, right? There's no, you don't play 9 years in the NFL just kind of moseying by and trying to figure it out, right? It's like, you just don't do that. The average career span is 3 years. So if you put the film on, it's like, this guy's out there dominating. But there's this other piece, right? Because it's, no one's like that all the time, right? No one's like that all the time. We can put on all our fronts and all our masks and act like we are someone that we're not. But men have tear ducts too, right? Real men cry as well. Real men show emotion. Real men, look at Dak Prescott and his injury, right? So there's so much, he broke his leg, contract year in a lot of ways, out for the season, and he was in tears, right? That's what a real man does. Real men don't hide. And so in the NFL locker room is very similar. You got guys laughing, joking, arguing about, you know, the best basketball team, the best player of all time. And that's me. I'm in that as well. But there's another piece where you have guys who are hiding. Guys who, on the inside, whether it's stuff at home or stuff in their interpersonal lives, aren't going great, but you got to act like you're the guy and got it all together. And I think that idea of hiding, that piece of hiding, is the part that's not healthy.
Do you think guys were afraid of coaches? And if you show emotions, they're going to look at you like, well, that's weak. Can't have him around because he's got stuff going on. And if you were elite, elite, maybe it wouldn't matter. But if you're fifth linebacker, well, you better keep your be as unnoticed as possible and just perform.
Yeah, I think. I guess I'll start with Bruce Arians. He was my most recent coach, and BA is a guy, and even Coach Nagy to a certain extent when I was with him in 2018. That his motto was "Be you." The motto for the entire year. I don't care what it is that you care about. If it's rap music and make music videos, be you. If it's golf, be you. If it's writing, if it's speaking, be you, be you, be you. And that's why you saw us have such a great season, because we had a coach who really thought in the way that said, you know what, I'm going to accept you and love you for who you are. And so whether you're the first round pick or the 53rd guy on the roster, anywhere in between, I believe the coaches who really love you for who you are. And I talk about this in the book, really, whenever you read it, you'll read about stories about coaches who really embrace that side of being you. And also you read about times where people didn't, and the benefits that came from that. And also some of the costs that come from the mindset that you're talking about, the mindset of, well, you know, I need you to be this robot, right? Vic Fangio, one of the best defensive minds of all time. He said, guys, don't be a robot. I'll give you the tools. I'll give you what you need, but you're the one who's on the field. Use everything you have. Your senses, all right, what you hear on the field, what you smell, everything, what you feel to make you a great player. So the greatest players I've been around, whether they're the starter, second round, whatever, second string, no matter, the greatest players I've been around are guys who have been real with who they are.
It's interesting on the Nagy piece here, because he's under the microscope right now for play calling. And I kind of look at it like being you for him is being a leader and letting guys emerge, just like you talked about. Like, to me, that's his strength, but yet he's kind of married to being play caller guy. And I'm like, hold on a second, for your own preservation, just be the head coach, have the offensive coordinator call plays and bring guys together, get the most out of them. To me, that's his, like, that's his best skill set that he should lean into. Do you agree with that? Or should he, you know, continue to develop as a play caller? But I think he's putting himself in harm's way doing that.
Yeah, the Bears are 4-1 right now, right? They just came off of a win against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. So as much as we would love to say the Bears are in a position where they're struggling, they're not. They're 4-1, even with, you know, what David Montgomery had, what, 32 rushing yards last game? Went through a couple quarterback kind of changes. What are we going to do? Which direction are we going to go? Injuries, interception, they're 4-1, right? Defense hasn't been playing what you would have hoped and expected early on, and they're 4-1. And so for me, this idea of being you, And you know, some people have it on their note cards when they're calling plays, when they're doing their thing. It's idea of being you. It almost goes to, it's like, I don't even care what somebody else thinks in a lot of ways, right? Like, different people may have different opinions, but I know who I am, right? Go back to Tampa Bay last year. Mitch was playing. He had to get through 6 touchdown passes, something like that. That was Nagy's play call. I was up in his office the week before talking about something. He was drawing up plays up at 8 p.m., 9 p.m., saying they're never going to figure this one out, right? And so, so I think being you also, and I talk about this idea in the book, right? This piece of security, right? In my book, And Let the World See You, which just dropped yesterday, 2 days ago, this idea of this security of knowing who I am and not even worrying about what anybody else says or thinks. Because oftentimes those haters, right? Bears end up 15-1 this year. They'll be saying, yeah, I believed in Matt Nagy the whole time. He's the best play caller. You know, that's how these things go.
Yeah, no, I got it. Like, I will out myself, Sam, for the record. I will say that, you know, I didn't think that Matt was going to do it. That's really interesting, though, that here he's up, you know, he's drawing up plays and they're crushing Tampa Bay and you're walking in on it. And I'll just ask one more on this, down this road. I do wonder if he, maybe this fits into the what you're talking about. Like, I think, like, Matt's almost wanting to be validated, if you will, for being a really smart guy. And like, smart's one thing, but, you know, being quote unquote, being you, being vulnerable, whatever, that could be another way in which you get validated. Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about, I hear what you're saying. I just go back and look at that record from a guy who was early in the season saying, man, what are the Bears going to do? Man, they're finding ways to win. And so I'm trying to see where you're coming from. But I'm like, man, you can say what you want. They're finding ways to pull it out. You know, and I think we saw, was it last game, third quarter, Matt Nagy and Nick Foles, right? People might call it a heated exchange. One heated exchange, that's two passionate people saying, hey, I view it this way, I view it this way. Nick was going, man, run fast paced offense. They're on their heels. I want to get it rolling. Coach Nagy slowed them down, called the play. And most people, some people would have said, well, I got to listen to my coach. But you saw Nick Foles, right? He's a good friend of mine, good friend of my brother's. Nick Foles say, no, coach, this is why I was calling it this way. That's what I was talking about earlier about being you. This is what I saw. This is what I felt. This is what was going on the field as opposed to on the sideline or in the box. That's the idea of being you. It's using your strengths, using your gifts, using your passions, using your abilities. And sometimes it'll work in your favor. Sometimes it won't. But more often than not, you'll see really, really good things happen.
So, and people kind of got on Nagy in that moment. And I'm like, hold on a second. There's a guy that's just having a conversation with his player and he's listening. I thought that all of that was actually a great sign for the Bears. By the way, your brother's got a book out too here, Uncomfortable Conversations with the Black Man. And of course, I watch his videos on Twitter too. I just want to know here, is there a little competition going on here? Little brotherly, who's going to be the bigger media star here? It's okay. You can cop to it, Sam.
No, that's my bro, man. We've been we obviously grew up together, right? He's a little bit younger than me and I'm rooting him on. He's rooting me on. The coolest thing I've seen is that, I don't know, man, like the way people are created differently. You know what I mean? And like, so he roots me on in what I do. I root him on in what he does. Right. And that's been the coolest thing for me. It's like the support. He read the book. He read my book, Let the World See You. He's like, bro, I love it. I love it. And he keeps it real. He's like, if I hated it, I would have told you. So that's been the coolest thing. And I can't wait to see what he's got going on as well.
If somebody had told you that 10 years ago, Sam, you'd be writing this book, what would you have said?
I probably would have said, I believe you. I wouldn't have necessarily wanted to go down this path of finding out who I really am, finding out the things that I really care about and going down some of the emotional roller coaster and the ups and the downs. But I'd have said, good. I've said, cool.
What's the biggest thing that you've discovered about yourself that you're willing to share?
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing for anybody who reads this book, the biggest thing you'll see is you'll see the freedom that comes when you let your guard down and when you let people see you. I think you'll see a freedom, and it's hard for a lot of people. You could be big, strong, super intelligent, and you can still be insecure. And I've seen that in some of the biggest, baddest linebackers, the biggest, baddest media stars, the biggest, baddest celebrities. You could have it all, yet still be insecure. And so this book really is a step towards insecurity. I hope, Mark, you'll get a chance to read it. And anybody listening as well, go check it out. It's available anywhere books are sold, or you can go to samachobook.com, samachobook.com, and get the book there, connect with me there. But really, that's what you'll learn when you read this book, just the power of vulnerability.
Hey, last time I talked to you, Sam, I think it was a couple months ago, I ordered it, baby. It's coming. So I'm very much looking forward to reading it. Let's talk a little bit of what you do off the field, and just a huge impact bringing Roger Goodell to Chicago, bringing all the teams together, building a grocery store, knocking down a liquor store, all that. And you know, as we've gotten away from that time period, it seems like things are sort of, I guess, in some way, shape or form, returning to normal. At least we're not, you know, people are not out protesting every day, at least like during the summer months. But where do you think we're at right now? And I guess what's up next for you on that front?
I think anytime you look at justice, it comes in waves, right? It's a long arc of justice. It's not just, you just get, you know, everything you want. It's done. It's like, no, it comes in waves. And people are still hurting. A lot of African-American men are still incarcerated at a rate higher than what's accurate, right? School systems are still not the way they should be. Even looking at an election coming up and voting and look at the voter suppression. I mean, there's so much going on, but it comes in waves. And so you fight, you fight, you fight, you rest, you recover, go back and you fight again. And so I think that's where we're at.
Do you think the NFL's doing enough?
I do. I think the NFL has actually stepped up in a lot of ways. Speaking of my brother, right, he had an uncomfortable conversation with Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell came and said, man, I was wrong. I was wrong about cap. I was wrong about all these issues, and I'm trying to do whatever I can. And so, yeah, I think the NFL is making strides, and I think that's really what the goal should be, right? What is enough, right? I think it's the goal is making strides instead of saying, all right, it's over now. No, let me make strides and figure out what steps are next. So, I think that's all. That's good.
Yeah, I'm here. Lifelong journey here, personal and professional, and on the social justice front as well. All right, but before you get out of here, Sam, I don't know if you're willing to do this, but I'm just wondering, like, what, because you're telling these stories in the locker room, and I was just personally curious, like, who, what players kind of help join you to help you, quote unquote, be you, get, be yourself, let the world see you? Like, who was able to encourage that? And if you're willing to name somebody who's like kind of side of like, hey, Sam, I don't want to see any of that. This is a football locker room. No emotions here. I'd be interested.
Hey, so it's all of that. Funny enough, it's in the acknowledgement. So if you, I'm not going to give it away, but y'all go get the book and go to the very last page, second to last page, the acknowledgements. I actually shout out those guys who stepped up for me on the, these are Bears players, right? The guys who were there for me, stepped up for me. So I'm going to leave that one for people who go in. And whenever your book comes in, Mark, anybody else who goes and gets it, you'll see that, you'll see those, in the book.
Fair enough. You're underrated businessman, Sam. I like it. That, let's wrap up with this then. Your expectations, 4-1, right now for the Chicago Bears, how tall, how high is up here for this team? What do you think they're capable of doing?
Yeah, I definitely see this team obviously going to the playoffs, and I think there's going to be a rematch of the game we saw last Thursday, Tampa and Chicago. I think it's going to be a rematch. I don't know if it's going to be the NFC Championship game or maybe a wild card game, but I see that game being a rematch. I think if the Bears can beat Tampa wherever that game is played in the playoffs or whatever round, I think you see the team going really far. And I don't know who they're going to play after that, right? New Orleans looking a little bit shaky, and obviously LA is LA. But I just see that rematch coming up. And I think obviously you saw how close of a game it was last time. I think you're going to see another Nick Foles, Tom Brady rematch in the playoffs, Bears, Bucks. Maybe it's NFC Championship, more likely, maybe a week before then.
You're not giving Green Bay a whole lot of love here, Sam.
Oh, Green Bay is unbelievable. I think everybody knows that, right? Everybody knows that. There's no questions about that. But you asked me about the Bears. I'm going to give you some info on the Bears.
Fair enough. Did you think the game was over 13-0?
No. No game is ever over 13-0.
I didn't think they were turning around like they did, but they did. Hey, Sam, congrats on everything. Always great to talk to you. Let the world see you. How to be real in a world full of fakes. Everybody, check it on out, and thanks for being on today.
Awesome, Mark. Thank you so much for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure.